Do you remember when you were like in grade school and it was like, or even middle school, and it was like lunchtime and you walk into the cafeteria? Wasn't that terrifying? You're looking, it's like, oh my word, who do I sit with today? Will anybody welcome me to sit at their table? Anybody have that? Did I bring that terror back to you? Yep. Sorry about that. Everyone in here is someone you have something to offer. In fact, since you said amen, why don't you turn to the person next to you and tell them that again? Because we need to hear that over and over and over, right? Just turn and say, hey, you're someone. You got something to offer.
Thank you for taking time to worship with us. My name is Floyd Bland, and on behalf of all of us here, I would like to welcome you to Paso Robles Community Church. We are located in California's Central Coast in the beautiful and pristine settings of Paso Robles. Love God, make friends, change the world. That's our motto here, and I feel that that is the call we strive to live out every single day on a moment-by-moment basis as believers. So we pray that the time you spend with us here in worship will enable you with God's Spirit and then empower you through God's grace to do just that. Now, there's a Beatles tune named Eleanor Rigby that I cherish deeply. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Ah, look at all the lonely people. And when I was young and awkward, and side note, I'm still somewhat young and awkward, I felt that it really spoke to those formative years when identifying a place to belong is crucial. And I've always felt that this song reaches to the core of what I believe to be the greatest questions that each human must wrestle with, whether we want to or not. You know, where do we all come from? And secondly, where do we all belong? And we look around our world, we see the anti-Brexit movement, for instance, the Honduran and Syrian refugees, the active shooters, the orphan, the widow. Where do we all come from? Where do we all belong? Well, in Corinthians, Paul illustrates how the miracle of baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit transfers man from the lonely and disassociated into the family of God, that we can then find our belonging fully in the body of Christ. Amen. See, together as a body is the title of today's message, and we continue through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be in verses 12 through 26. And with that, let us tune our ears and hearts to today's message from our pastor, Sean Penn.
So as we get going today, just had a question. Have you guys ever had that longing, that desire to fit in? Anybody? Yeah. Do you remember when you were like in grade school and it was like, or even middle school and it was like lunchtime? And you had to go and you either go and get your little hot lunch or you go grab your lunch bag and you walk into the cafeteria. Wasn't that terrifying? You're looking, it's like, oh my word, who do I sit with today? Will anybody welcome me to sit at their table? Anybody have that? Did I bring that terror back to you? Yep. Sorry about that. Hey, just as a church, this is our word to you. This is the word that we had last week, and it was this, remember? Everyone in here is someone, and you have something to offer. Amen. Everyone in here is someone, you have something to offer. In fact, since you said amen, why don't you turn to the person next to you and tell them that again? Because we need to hear that over and over and over, right? Just turn and say, hey, you're someone. You got something to offer. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Now we're back to 5 more minutes. What? Didn't that feel good, though? To be reminded that you've been made in the image of God. You are unique. You are special. And God wants to use you to touch other lives. You have something to offer. And so before we open up the word today, let's pray together. Father God, we are in your presence. And Lord, it's so good. We need this. We need to be in your presence. And now, Lord, we need to hear from you. And so, God, we ask that as we turn to the Bible, God, we confess that there is authority invested in this book, and we want to humbly receive from you, from your word, what you want us to hear today. And so, God, I pray you'd speak to us, and you'd give us your heart for the church, you'd give us your heart for our church. God, you'd work in us a desire where we want to get plugged in and fit in and contribute and to do something meaningful for you and for your glory. And so, God, we know for that to happen, Jesus needs to be the center. And so, Lord, we ask this morning that, Jesus, you would be the center. And you would grab our attention and continue to pull us to yourself. Speak to us in a very real, tangible, powerful way. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Oh, man, we're going to hop right into this. We're going to look at verses 12 through 26 today. And I didn't know how really to capture all this or to package it other than there's four truths. We're going to look at four truths that Paul is going to outline. If you were here last week, we talked about a spiritual gift. And remember, a spiritual gift, it's used in the context of community. It's not for your own benefit. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit in your life, through your life, for the common good of the people around your life. And through it all, Jesus is going to get exalted. Jesus is going to be made big. And your hearts are going to be focused back on Jesus. That's what we talked about last week. But the location that God wants to use, the outpouring of his Spirit to build his bodies in the church. So we want to talk about what that is. We're going to find that context of the church, and we're going to understand some pretty interesting and I think encouraging things about the nature of the church this morning. And hopefully you're going to be asking yourself all the way through. It's like, okay, Lord, how do I connect? What's my part? What am I to do? All right? And so let's just get right into this. There's some fill in the blanks in your outline. And so the first outline, let me just fill in the blank, then let's read the scripture together, all right? The first outline should be simply like this. The Holy Spirit is going to do this. The Holy Spirit forms believers into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who forms believers into the body of Christ. Now let's read 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go back to verse 12 and 13. There we go. So let's read it together. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form how many bodies?
One body.
So it is with Christ, all right? So just as in your physical body, you got many parts, but it's forming one body, so now Paul's going to say it's the same thing when it comes to Jesus Christ, right? Verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to form us into the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. The word baptized, right? For some of us, the word baptized can conjure up, that's a church ceremony that we do at Star Farms, where people go under the water and get wet, right? Some of us may think that. But it's also more than that. There is a spiritual significance behind what Paul is trying to say. The word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo, right? Say that with me. Baptizo, right? And it literally means to immerse or to submerge. And the idea was really like a ship when it's going under. Every level is getting filled. It's being submerged. Not one level is not touched by the water. It's also used when they were dyeing cloth. They would take cloth and they would submerge it into the dye and bring it up. And that cloth now had to change nature. It was one color and now it's another because of this baptism that was taking place. And I know there's a lot of confusion in our conversations. And I don't know where you all stand from your spiritual upbringings and backgrounds. We touched on this a little bit last week. There's far ends of the spectrum, right? Those who deny the working of the Holy Spirit and those who exalt it at the far end over here. We talked about that a little bit last week. The whole baptism of the Spirit can conjure up a lot of things. I understand that. So let me just try to clarify, I think, a little bit of what this means. We're talking about the baptism of the Spirit because we got groups that say there is no such thing as the baptism of the Spirit. And others are saying, no, you have to be baptized in the Spirit. And the evidence of the baptism of the Spirit is your ability to do these miraculous gifts and to speak in tongues and to do all these things. So what does it really mean to be baptized with the Spirit? This is my understanding as I look at the scripture and I put it into your notes. There's a little gray box. Try to differentiate. There's at least three. There's a lot more, but at least three that become kind of confused. All right? And there's these words of the indwelling of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the baptism of the Spirit. Let me just try to unpack each one of those so we can get a better understanding of what Paul is trying to say here when he says we were all, how many of us?
All
were baptized in the Spirit. So indwelling, I would define it this way. It's the residing presence of the Holy Spirit within the life of a believer. Seems pretty obvious, right? You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. This is a one-time event. God's Spirit moves into you, takes up residency within you. Jesus even promised this in John 14, 17. The Spirit of truth, you will know him, for he lives with you and will be where? In you. The Holy Spirit within you. It brings the mind of Christ. It brings the conviction of the Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. The Holy Spirit is convicting you with regard to sin, to righteousness, and to judgment. The Holy Spirit's indwelling presence is the thing that's going to seal you and guarantee your redemption on the day the Lord Jesus arrives. This is the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. We read this sealing work in Ephesians chapter 1. And it reads this. In fact, why don't you just read it with me, verse 13. And you were also included where? In Christ, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. When Jesus returns, the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee you're going to get your inheritance. Right? That's the indwelling work. But there's also a thing called the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit, I would define it this way, if you want to put it in your notes, it's the controlling and leading work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The indwelling happens once. The filling can happen multiple times. And it can grow in its intensity. And the more mature you become, the stronger and fuller you can become with the Holy Spirit. All right? And so Paul even understands this, Ephesians 5, you can be commanded to actually be filled with the Spirit, right? When he's talking about, do you get drunk? Do you get intoxicated? He says, don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be what? Filled with the Spirit. Greek, present tense, it's a continual action. You should be continually being filled with the Spirit. Right now, later this afternoon. And when you're filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, God can do amazing things through the life of you as he begins to release that gifting through you, all right? But then there's another word that Paul used, and this is how I would interpret it. The baptism is that immersion of believers into the body of Christ. When you are baptized in the Spirit of God goes inside and dwells you, gives you the ability now, because you have the spiritual life of Christ in you, to actually be filled multiple times, to grow in that filling. But it connects you and begins to form the body of Christ. You are immersed into the life of God, creating the body of Christ. That's what he's trying to talk about here, I think. It is a one-time event, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can check me on this. We can talk about it later, but I couldn't find anything where it says, go pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray to be filled, but don't be praying for the baptism. Baptism happens, and it unites you. In fact, we read in, so again, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Paul says, we were all what? Baptized. We were all baptized. Every single person were baptized in by one Spirit. Paul in Ephesians wrote this, there is how many bodies? One body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to unite us. And this is interesting, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit who is forming us as the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And the moment that you confess that Jesus is your head, that you have been a sinner, that you are repenting of your sin, and you are asking God to forgive you your sin through Jesus Christ, God places his Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit now is connecting you to that head, and the Spirit is connecting you to one another. Isn't that amazing? You're connected to the Lord Jesus. You're connected to the Lord Jesus. You're connected to the Lord Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. But because you're connected, you're connected, you're connected. Guess what? We're all connected to each other. So this is kind of maybe freaking some of you out, but just think about this. The relationship you have with the people in the church, it's going to go on for eternity. And how long is eternity? Forever. Think about this. Your relationship with the people you're sitting with in here is going to go longer than your married life. Right? Some of you are like, whoa, got really quiet real fast. Marriage is until death do us part. Marriage, Jesus said, is not going to be the order of the kingdom in heaven. But the Spirit of God's going to be in you, and you're going to remain connected as the body of Christ for all eternity. Ah! So what I want you to do is turn to that person you came with today. Just look at them and say, you're stuck with me for all eternity. Just tell them that. Hallelujah, right? Oh. And so a corollary to all this, that the Holy Spirit is the one who is forming us into one body. Listen to this. Because the Holy Spirit is forming us into one body, there's a saying that we teach in our servant staff class that we borrowed from Henry Blackaby, and it should be in your notes, but it's simply this. Your relationship with God, it's personal, but it's not private. We're connected. There's so much tendency in Christianity to say, well, it's just me and Jesus. Don't you get in my life. I don't need to tell you what's going on. Listen, the Holy Spirit's in you, the Holy Spirit's in me. Whatever's going on in you, it is my business. Right? And it's your business. So it's personal, very personal, but it's not private. Ooh, some of you are like, what? And then, on top of that, Paul goes on, said, not only have you been baptized with the Spirit, but you've been given that one Spirit to do what? To drink. We've all been given the one Spirit to drink. He's talking about the filling here. You drink from that Spirit. How do you drink from the Holy Spirit? Well, just going to go out on a limb and say, think about it this way. Who inspired the Word of God? The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. The Holy Spirit carried the writers along as they were writing the Word of God. And so as you read the Word of God that the Holy Spirit inspired, and the Holy Spirit's in you, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to change your mind and change your thinking and going to begin to work conviction within you. And through the Holy Spirit, you're going to repent and you're going to get right back with God. And because the Holy Spirit is in you, the love of God, according to Romans, is now shed abroad in your heart, which allows you to love one another and to serve one another in only ways that the Holy Spirit makes possible. And as long as we're drinking from that Holy Spirit together, we're all going to be drawing closer to the headship of Jesus Christ and to one another, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who forms us as a body of Christ. And even though our relationship with Jesus is very personal, it's not private. So let me keep going. Paul adds this. Second thing, verse 27. We're not even going to cover that. I just wanted to, he kind of summarizes this whole section in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. You are. I mean, the person next to you, the person in front of you, behind you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit's in you, you're being formed. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. So Paul now adds, as we get on to verse 14, he says this, every believer is going to belong in the body of Christ. Not only is the Holy Spirit forming us, but if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you belong in the body of Christ. Being a part of a church family is not an option. You belong in the body of Christ. Let's read this together. Verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Let's pause. It's not made up now of one part, right? We're all coming together in the Holy Spirit. But it's made up of many. All of us belong to that. I'm no doctor, so I had to do a little research on this. And I was like looking at our human body. And it's like, how many bones are in the human body? Yeah, over 200 bones, right? Then it was like, how many muscles are connected off your skeletal structure? You have over 600 muscles. You have over 200 types of cells in your body. All these things are working together seamlessly and in unison, or you wouldn't have a body, right? So you have all these parts that are visible and invisible that are coming together. That's what Paul's saying. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, it's funny, read this together. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, right? Because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. How silly is that, right? Your foot's over there like going, oh, I see what the hand's doing. You know, I see that hand over there, it can catch balls, it can throw balls, it can play keyboards, it can turn the remotes and change the channel. And the foot's like, if that's what it means to be part of the body, I'm not part of the body. Isn't that silly? No, for that reason, it wouldn't stop being part of the body. It belongs to the body. Keep going, verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason what? Stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? See what Paul's trying to get at? We are all a part of the body. We all belong in the body. And so I think what he's trying to get at is, listen to this. In our diversity, and despite our diversity, there should be unity. We all belong, but there should be unity from our diversity. All right? The diversity should not lead to division. And I think the one thing that, there's a couple things that I think we become united in through our diversity. I mean, I look around and I think what he's talking about is we can be diverse racially, ethnically, economically, educationally, right? We can be diverse and yet we come together in the presence of the Holy Spirit under the headship of Jesus Christ and we're united. That's one of the things, I said this before, one of the things I love about PRCC. I look around, right? You look around, go ahead, feel free, look around. I mean, there's different genders in here, right? There are different races in here, right? There's different economic levels in here, right? This is nothing that's new, it's there. There's different education levels in here. Some of you are very well educated, and some of you have been through the School of Hard Knocks. I mean, there's just a lot of different levels, right? And yet when people that are as diverse as us can come together and we're united, it's a testimony to the world that God's doing something. How do I know that? Because you just look what's going on in the world, right? The world, those differences create division. And those divisions create conflict. And that conflict will often result in the sinful attitudes of hatred and prejudice and violence and murder, right? We'd be tearing ourselves apart in this room if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can have a lot of different backgrounds. We can have different, believe it or not, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's Democrats in here. There are Republicans in here. And there might be socialists in here, but we're not going to ask. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who is uniting us all together. There should be a unity despite that diversity. But not only can we be united in our kind of economic, educational, but I also find it interesting, and this is where churches sometimes get this all wrong. We can be united despite our passions, our gifting, our ministry preference. Think about that. I have a certain bent, and there's certain things that I'm going to say I'm going to focus on. That's just who I am. That's how I got wired. And some people walk into a church and say, man, all you guys do is talk about missions. I don't want to be part of this church because all you do is talk about mission. Listen, we need you, right? And if your passion is teaching, don't walk out the door. We need you. If your passion is evangelism, we need you. If your passion is serving or care, we need you. And we can be united in that diversity because the church should be bringing all that diversity. And God's putting something on your heart that's not on my heart because there's a reason we need that in this church. So we can be doing as many different things as possible to communicate the name of Jesus to this community, right? So more people can know him. So we can have this diversity, and yet we can have a unity, and only the Holy Spirit makes that possible. So not only is the Holy Spirit now forming us into a body, but every single person who is a follower of Jesus Christ, you belong in that body. And then Paul starts getting a little more detailed. And he says this, his third point. You can keep going. Yeah, that's an amazing verse that Jesus said. People are going to know that you're my followers, right? If you have love for one another, that's a work of the Spirit. Number three, every believer is equally important in the body of Christ. Every believer is equally important in the body of Christ. That's what Paul says. Let's look at the verse 18. Read it with me. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as who wanted them to be? Just as he wanted them to be. The fact that you are here is not a mistake. The fact that you are here is a testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is building his body. And there is something that we are being called to do as a church if you are here. Because God, through his Holy Spirit, is putting us together just as he wanted us to be. Every person belongs and is equally important in the body of Christ. And so it means if you parachuted in from Florida or Australia or over in the valley, it's not a mistake. God brought you here. Now, we have a responsibility as a church to try to figure out, why are you here? And what are you bringing, right? We have that responsibility. If you're here and you know where you're serving, awesome, thank you. Continue to keep serving. Or if I put the little plug, children's ministry, it'd be a great place to serve, right? Have some fun, or youth ministry. I see Paul back there shaking his head. Yeah, youth ministry, the worship team, there are a lot of different places. If you're here and you're like, I still don't know, we have been putting together, I mentioned that I think briefly last week, it didn't make it available, but just this kind of a spiritual resource survey, just let us know, what have you done? What are you capable of doing? And where are you in your walk with the Lord? So there's two different documents here. If you could do us a favor and complete those, because what we're trying to do is create a database so now we can go back through and say, okay, we have certain people doing certain things or passionate about certain things. Let's team them up. Or maybe we're beginning to see God is bringing certain people here and they have a certain bent or makeup. They've been wired a certain way, but they don't even know that there's somebody else in the church just like that, right? That should be telling us God's doing something. He's on the move. And we need to be creating or inviting you or talking to you and listening to you, all right? Because this is what the body does. God's brought you in here for a reason. Some of you come in, you may not know where exactly you fit, and you're not ready to take that yet. But you're looking around going, man, this church is a mess. You guys should be doing this better. Listen, if that is you, awesome! Because apparently the Holy Spirit has gifted you with the ability to diagnose the problem and the ability to help us correct the problem. All right? So let's talk. Right? So if you're here, and you're like, because here's my bigger question is, if you're here, are you connected to the body? Because Jesus is the head, the Holy Spirit is uniting us, we all belong to the body, and every part is equally important in the body. So my question is, are you connected to the body? See, what Paul is doing here, remember, this church in Corinth is completely splintered. It's fractured. It is falling apart. And he's calling them back to unity because they are abusing the work of the Holy Spirit. They're abusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And now he's trying to give them the theology. He says, listen, this is about unity, gang. And every single one of you is important. Not one is more important than the other. So my question is, are you connected? Or are you a disconnected finger that just keeps floating around from church to church to church, pointing out everybody's problems? Or are you a disconnected mouth that just kind of floats around from church to church to church going, pss, 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 right? Knock it off and get connected, because we're the body and everyone is individually and equally important in the body of Christ. Everyone is equally important in the body of Christ. But here, listen, just because we're equally important doesn't mean that everyone's equally visible, right? Everyone is equally important, but not everybody's equally visible. So let's keep reading. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Let's keep going. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Listen, if the head said to the foot, I don't need you, what would happen to the foot? It would still be on your body, right? It would still be there. So what would the head do? The head would say, oh, I'm not going to send signals to that foot. What happens when the head quits sending signals to the foot? Right? You fall, and then you'd end up on your head. See how it works? What happens if you're saying, I don't need you in the body? All you're doing is the body's declaring a war on itself. And so if we're going around saying, well, I don't need you, I don't need you, all we're doing is creating factions, and we're splintering, and we're creating war within the body. And when that happens, who wins? Nobody wins. Everybody's equally important. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Keep going, verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. I don't need to explain this, do I? There are parts of us that just need to be covered. That's what he's saying. Verse 24, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. What he's saying is that, hey, even though now we're all equally important, not all of you are going to be equally visible in what God's doing. I mean, think about your own life. How many times in the last 5 minutes have you thought about your liver or your kidney or your spleen? Anybody? Yeah. If they quit working, you'd be thinking about it, wouldn't you? Because you wouldn't be doing very well. That's the point. There are things that you need that are not seen. And we got to get our reframing of church. It needs to be reframed, because if we think that church is just standing on a stage behind a microphone, and if I can't get on a stage and be behind a microphone, you're going to be completely disappointed in this thing called church. Because a majority of what happens does not happen up here. Most of what happens in the church happens person to person, life on life, in groups, throughout the week. People are praying for each other and loving on each other. And I tell you, and I can't give names away, I hope at the Thanksgiving dinner they're going to share, but some of the things that are happening that you guys are doing, I've heard word of individuals getting word from another individual that there's somebody in the hospital that doesn't have anybody to love on them, and so they've gone, and they're going to the hospital, and they're loving on an individual they've never even met. I've heard of other people starting prayer groups at their work and how God is showing up. Even had the privilege, I heard, of leading somebody to Christ this last week. Amazing, right? God's doing amazing things. But a lot of it's not up here, right? It's happening out there behind the scenes as you guys are coming together and being the church. And that's what we need to get to, right? Every part is equally important. Not every part is equally visible, though. And then the last, I think it'll be the last, is number four. Paul says this, not only is every part equally important, but every believer is equally responsible for the health of the body of Christ. If you're in here, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're connected under the head of Jesus, the Holy Spirit fills you, the Holy Spirit connects you to Jesus, the Holy Spirit connects you to one another, and the Holy Spirit is determining now exactly where you belong in that body so you can make a maximum impact, make this body actually act and function like a body. But now you have a responsibility to contribute back to the health of the church. Every single person here has that responsibility. It's not just my responsibility. If you're at the annual meeting last week, we inducted sounds like the wrong word. We welcomed on two more elders. So we have a total of five elders in this church. We welcome Floyd Bland and Marcus Rostro onto the elder team. That's five elders, but that's still not enough. It takes all of you being concerned about what's going on in the life of your brothers and sisters, to be praying for them, to be reaching out to them, right? So let's read the scripture. Where do we get this? Paul says this, so that there should be no, what? No division in the body, but that its parts should have. So that kind of got quiet. But I hope that's because you understood the gravity of what this means. All of its parts should have equal concern. You have equal responsibility for the life and the health of this church. Right? If one part suffers, every part does what? Suffers with it. If you were here a few weeks ago, you heard me about 6 weeks ago, right? I was out playing tennis with my son. And I'm thinking, I can beat my son. And he sent the ball over the net, and I went running to get that ball, and I planted it. When I planted, I hear a pop, right? And I partially tore two tendons in my right calf. Now listen, when that happened, was it just my right calf that suffered? No. My left leg suffered, because now I had to carry my weight. And then my mouth suffered, because I'm over there yelling. Ah! Right? I didn't swear. The Holy Spirit would not let me do that. All right? My eyes suffered because they started having water in them. I didn't cry. Just got misty. It was painful. Right? Same way as a church family. If one of you is suffering, the rest of us, because we're connected through the Holy Spirit, will feel it. Listen, we're not just talking, and this is true. This is true, okay? If somebody in here, you lose a loved one, you lose a parent, you lose a spouse, the rest of us feel that. If you're here and your spouse abandons you, we feel that. If you're here and your child walks away from the Lord, we feel that. You should. If you're here and you lost your job, we should feel that. Right? Because one part suffers, we're all suffering with it. And honestly, I would even go, this is just me and my personal opinion, and from nearly 30 years of ministry. This may explain what some of you are feeling. We are so stinking self-centered and self-focused that if we're not feeling well, we think it's us. And we think, oh, I got to go to the doctor, figure out why I'm kind of down. Do you think maybe the reason you're feeling a little agitated or a little anxious, or maybe you're feeling a little down, maybe because there's something going on in the body of Christ that the Spirit is beginning to let you know that one of your brothers and sisters is struggling in an area? And so maybe we should get on our knees and start praying for one another and get to know one another. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it, right? You get a promotion at work, woohoo! We should celebrate. You get pregnant. Yeah, I got quiet. What? Yeah, we need more children's ministry help. No, we should be celebrating, right? It's not just my responsibility, it's not just the elders' responsibility, it's all of our responsibility for the health of the church. We all have equal responsibility. And so if somebody is going, you know, and they're struggling, you know, what do you do? Do you say, you know, tough, that's none of my business. It stinks being you. Do you think that? I hope not. There's some questions I put in your questions at the, for your, if you want to use the message to do some discussion. And here's several I just put in there. What happens in your life when someone in PRCC is hurting? Nothing? I go about life as usual? Or, nah, I pray for them in my private devotional time. Never let them know that I prayed for them, but I'm praying. I find ways to minister to them personally through phone calls or cards or text or other appropriate ways. Or how about this? Do I contact them regularly? Just check in. Encourage them if needed. What do you do if somebody in the church is hurting? We said this last week. I'll say it again. Look around. There are empty seats. And it's not just because it's hard to find a place to park. There are empty seats because there's people that are, well, we rejoice if they're on vacation. Woohoo! Right? Some of you are like, nope, I would not celebrate that. I want my vacation, dang it. No, we support them. We rejoice with them, right? But there are people that are sick, people not feeling well, people having hard times in their marriage, right? Are you calling them? Are you checking in on them? Are you challenging them? Gang, this is the body. This is so important. We're all in this together. And the Holy Spirit is uniting us, and he's building a body. And the more that we come together and we're united under the headship of Jesus Christ, listening to Jesus and loving on each other and serving on each other and using the gift now, because we're filled with the Spirit in an appropriate way, not for our own benefit, for the building up. Remember, this is the context. This is what Paul's telling us about the body. It's because we're not using our gifts right. Next week, we're going to talk about the gifts in detail. You may want to be back for that one. But it's so we can build the body up. So we're all connected, so we become healthy, so we're stronger. And so the world sees what's going on and says, wow, how is that possible? Come over here, I'll tell you. It's the Holy Spirit under the headship of Jesus Christ. He's the one who can take strangers and make them family. He's the one who can take complete opposites and bring us together so we can be in unity despite our incredible diversity. He's the one who softens our hearts. So when I hear about a brother who is in need, instead of checking my wallet and making sure I had no money on me today, because I don't want to have to be guilted into being generous. No, I go, whoa, how much do I have? Because I want to help my brother. They need food, I want to take them food. They need clothing for their kids, I want to get them clothing. Because that's what the body does. The body ministers to one another until we all reach the fullness under the headship of Jesus Christ. Woo! So with that, are you connected to the body? Do you know why you're here? Do you know what God wants to release through you? Do you know what you're bringing to this body? Listen, all of this are things we need to be aware of. And if you need some help, we've got some paperwork. We'll give it to you. We'd love to hear from you. What is God doing in your life? Because we want to build this body, all right? Let's pray together.